Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I want to welcome everyone this morning to Radio for Your Mind, where we talk about the leadership principles that literally get us through the day, get us through our business. And yesterday, Jim Gilhouse, my co-host and great friend, was talking about John C. Maxwell's Law of the Lid, right out of John's book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And if you don't have this book, guys, I strongly recommend it. I had the first copy that came out in 1998, and it was phenomenal. It was amazing what John wrote at the time. I picked up the latest copy, which came out in 2007, back at Catalyst Conference, as a matter of fact, in 2007. And it's amazing to me how the content is still fresh. It's forever green. But John did change a couple of the chapters, and he did the headings that way, and he freshened up the content in those chapters. Didn't change the context, but he freshened them up because, you know, some things can be aged. And in his first edition, he talked about the law of E.F. Hutton, and a lot of people don't even remember E.F. Hutton, so he's updated those. But you got to get this book. It's phenomenal. Mark, I know that you've got your copy. You know, let's just chat a little bit before Jim gets on or before we go to chapter two. But what was yesterday? How did that affect your day after listening to the Law of the Lid?
Well, it made me, you know, I've read the book a couple of times, but not recently, Troy. So it made me go back, pull it out, find out that I had the same edition as you, and read all about it. And the stunning stories in there, and basically the lid, or the cap, if you will, is something that won't allow you to go beyond your skill set. In other words, you're only going to be able to do so much based on a skill set. So if you want to attract great people into your business, the essence is you're going to have to become better. The good news is that you can, through self-study and mentoring, raise your lid to a new level. It's what, you know, another person once called the Peter Principle, that people will rise to their level of incompetence. Mm-hmm. In other words, you'll go as far as you can go, and then you can go no more. So what's required? What's required is new skill sets, and Maxwell's books definitely will give you that.
Oh, that's no doubt whatsoever. Well, Mr. Gilhouse, we are excited about having you on this morning, and continuing our study of the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership.
Well, good morning, Troy. How are you doing, man?
Oh, my gosh, doing great. I found my most current copy that I'd already started reading, and I'm excited. I went ahead and read Chapter 2. I almost gave away the title. And I tell you, buddy, this is great. I'm hearing great feedback already for our first week with this new format. So we are on a roll.
Well, I'm excited because what this is really all about, next week when we really start introducing the process of assigning people different chapters to review and present on a daily basis, I think that's when it's really going to start to get interesting, because we're going to start seeing more people step up and come to the table and want to be a part of what we're doing as well. Because as you know, one of the main functions of leadership is the ability to speak in front of a live audience, to inspire people to do great things. And a lot of people don't have any experience or background in that when they're fresh to the industry and they're just getting started and everything. This is a great way for new people who want to become better leaders to learn something, to teach and present something, but yet not have the fear of all the eyes in the audience staring at you in the beginning. So the idea to be able to do this in a show-type, call-type format, I think, is going to bring some people out of their shells and cause them to step forward and want to be a part of what we're doing. With that being said, yesterday we talked about the Law of the Lid. I was just listening to you review with Mark, you know, what he got out of that process and everything. And I think it's important that as we go through all of these things that we're going to be doing as a result of this show, that if people have the tools, the books that we're going to be talking about, that they actually take a little bit of time and go through and read just that one chapter a day. Because, you know, you don't need to devour an entire book to get something powerful out of it. If you take and you use the process of how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, and you do that with great books, because I believe it was Charlie Tremendous Jones who once said, the only difference between who we are today and the person we're going to be 5 years from now are the people we meet in the books that we read, the people we meet in the books that we read, the people we meet in the books that we read. Well, I would caveat that in today's day and age by adding a few more things, like the videos that we watch, you know, movies like The Secret. The places that we travel to is also another one that I think can have a significant impact on shaping us into the person that we want to become. But there's nothing more powerful than feeding your mind with books, because it's been a proven fact down through time that leaders are readers, and readers become leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It has been proven time and time again through the annals of time that is a true statement. And yeah, you know, it's an honor to be able to share this information with everybody. And I only wish that I was going to be going with you up to Catalyst this year. We've got some other commitments that are going to be preventing us from being able to do that, because I think that's going to be, you know, I'd tell you to videotape the whole thing for me, but I don't think they make enough memory cards to do something that extravagant.
They don't, but I'll tell you what I will do. I will be getting both audio and DVDs after the event. I'll get the audios before I leave Atlanta. The DVDs will be in by December. As soon as I have those, we will definitely make available to you, Mr. Gilhouse, some of the excitement that was there during that time period.
Well, that's awesome, man. I appreciate it. So let's get on to the topic of the day, and that is the law of influence. And Dr. Maxwell, I think he hits a home run with this statement, because he sums up this entire chapter with this statement. The true measure of leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And let's take a moment and let's evaluate how that statement affects our industry. Because it's through influence that we inspire people to take action and to step outside of their comfort zone and to do great things. The influence that we have with others comes from a variety of things, but probably the strongest form of influence that we can have with other people is when they believe that we have more faith in them than they do in themselves. And I know as a father, Mr. Dooley, you can definitely relate to this, because we all, as parents, we have more faith in our children at times than we do or than they do in themselves. So before I go any further on this, I want you to talk about Dalton, because I know that you can talk about Dalton and talk about faith and influence and inspiring greatness in someone who doesn't have the faith in himself that you do in him.
Well, you know, it's amazing to watch, because I can remember at a very young age, his leadership ability started to shine through. And as most people have heard me talk about Dalton, they know that he started going to Catalyst with me at 9 years old. And by 12 years old, he had launched his first company here on the island. And at that time, we were living in an apartment complex while we looked for a home. And the owner of the complex had taken him under his wing and said, you know, I want you to start helping me with the landscaping. Well, very quickly, Dalton realized this is a big job and I need help. So he was able to take what he got paid, hire a couple, three other kids that were just a tad younger than him to do some of the tedious work so that he could keep doing some of the other work. And it was amazing to watch, because he didn't even realize what he was doing at the time. And that kind of was the springboard or the catalyst, to coin that phrase, of where he's come from. Because during that time period, the owner of this complex, who comes from a very old local family, would take Dalton with him, and he would introduce him to other business people in town, friends of his. And by the age of 16, when Katrina came through, Dalton had so many contacts that he was able to go out and start talking to those business owners and say, would you donate? And he ended up having T-shirts donated for the cause. He ended up with people donating gas cans and lawnmowers and gift cards to Home Depot so that he could put those first two crews together to go over there to I don't know where he went, Alabama, Mississippi, Bay St. Louis, I'll get it out, Bay St. Louis. And then this time around, you know, he came to me and he said, "Dad, I don't know if I can do this. It's been 3 or 4 years. We haven't really done anything since the hurricanes, but this young lady needs help." And I said, "Well, you take the front end, I'll take the back end. You just tell me what needs to be done." And Jimmy, in just a few weeks, he was able to raise funds. He was able to get, it was interesting because he got businessmen and women that were in real estate that are bankrupt. I mean, they are upside down. They're short closing on their condos. They're losing their condos. And these folks turned around and said, "Look, we're going to have all this furniture. We're going to have all this stuff that would just go, you know, to waste in some cases or go back to the bank. We'll donate it to you. We'll donate it to your cause. We'll donate it to her, whatever you need to do." And now, you know, Angie's taken care of, but Dalton has made so many inroads that now there's local charities that need furniture. There's a company locally that takes old furniture, reupholsters it, makes it new, and sells it so that they can raise funds to help people that have been burnt out in other places. So it's fun to watch what started out as a short, snot-nosed kid that wasn't sure what he was doing. And truly now, Jimmy, he's grown into a leader that people are contacting him now nationwide saying, "How can we help?" So I'm proud of him for that.
Well, and that's all a result of the influence that he's created that's based on the fact that people know, like, and trust him.
That's,
you know,
true.
There's a big difference between leadership and management from the standpoint of positional authority. And one of the best ways that can be described is the fact that the only thing a title can buy is a little time, either to increase your level of influence with others or to undermine it. And the reason that's important is because it's not the position that makes the leader, it's the leader that makes the position. And the same thing holds true, folks, with us, with every person in this industry, because leadership is never bestowed upon you. Leadership is assumed. You have to step forward and take upon the responsibilities of leadership. Because, let's face it, leadership is a gift and a responsibility all at the same time. Because along with the gift of trust that people give you, that they empower you with, it's also a burden of responsibility, because these are people that have made a commitment to follow you, and now it's incumbent upon us to provide them with a level of leadership that they deserve, to look out for their best interest and to find ways to inspire them. This is why it's so important in our industry to find out what people want, need, and desire, because it's those wants, needs, and desires that truly allow you to connect with someone and move them, inspire them into action to get the kinds of results that can change people's lives and make their entire universe a better place, not just for them, but for the people that they come in contact with on a daily basis. Because success leaves tracks, and it can be contagious. Yeah, you know, one of our favorite mentors that we talk about, Troy, in this industry is Jim Rohn. And I love Jim Rohn's philosophy of keep your full-time job and use this industry as a part-time launching board to change your life, because of the fact that influence you create, people will see a difference in you professionally as you start to grow and become a better person. And these people who were once the naysayers, they see the signs of success, the tracks of success that get left behind. And all of a sudden, they'll come back to you and they'll start asking questions like, "Hey, Troy, you still doing that part-time thing that you were doing?"
That's right.
And you can look them dead in the eye and you can say with pride, "You bet I am." All of a sudden, their level of belief in you, never mind what it is that you're doing, it rises tenfold, and your influence with these people increases dramatically. You know, at the end of this chapter, as in every chapter in Dr. Maxwell's book, you know, all of his newer books, he's adapted
the applying the law of influence to your life. And I'm going to run through that, and then we're going to open up the mic, and we're going to go around. We're going to let a few people talk, and we've got a special guest that's joined us this morning, I see, as well, who I'm going to have chime in and give us some feedback here as well. The law of influence to your life. Which of the myths in this chapter have you brought into in the past? Management, entrepreneur, knowledge, pioneer, or position? Almost everybody at some point buys into the fact that it's management's responsibility to provide for us, or it's a, you know, it's an entrepreneur that does all these great things. Knowledge is power. Knowledge isn't power. Knowledge gives us the confidence to invoke power within others. The pioneer, you know, the pioneer, there's something to be said for the concept of the myth of the pioneer, because this is where we talk about timing and the power of timing. Just because a person gets involved in an opportunity at the ground floor does not guarantee them success with that opportunity. It guarantees them an opportunity, a phenomenal opportunity to take advantage of their timing. But without the action steps, that opportunity doesn't mean anything. It's like going to Vegas, or, you know, it reminds me of the old story of wanting to win the lottery and praying and praying and praying to win the lottery. And one day, a gentleman has a conversation with the Lord, and he says, "Lord, you know, I've been praying and praying and praying to win the lottery, you know, and you just don't answer my prayers." Lord says to him, "Are you ever going to buy a ticket?"
Well, Jimmy, there's something else right there, too, that people need to realize. There's a lot of dead pioneers. Most pioneers never made it to their destination, either out of lack of wisdom, lack of knowledge, going the wrong direction, or actually following the wrong dream or the wrong leader. So those are all, you know, just because you're at the right place and it looks like the greatest opportunity in the world, you better do some due diligence before you decide to become a pioneer. You may find out that you're doing nothing but going over the edge of a cliff.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Troy. You know, let's talk about some things, some questions that we all need to ask ourselves. You know, why have we bought into or been susceptible to these myths in the past? Is it because of our own limiting beliefs? You know, what can we do about changing those? You know, what does it say about our perception of leadership? You know, do we believe that leadership is something that a person is born with, or do we believe that it's something that we can aspire to and learn and grow as a result of? What most importantly must we change in our current thinking to make an improvement in our leadership ability in order to gain influence with others? Secondly, what do we usually rely upon to persuade other people to follow us? You know, and this is important. Just like yesterday, this is something where I would encourage everyone to ask your spouse, ask your children, ask people that you are associated with to rank the following items on a scale of 1 to 10, to 1 being low and 10 being high, and get some feedback as to what other people's perceptions are and compare it against your own. Your character, who are you? Your relationships, who you know. Your knowledge, what you know. Your intuition, what you feel. Your experience, where you've been. Past success, what you've done or accomplished. Your ability, what you can do. And let me caveat this with something that I don't remember who quoted this at one point in time, but I remember reading it again in one of Dr. Maxwell's new books, and that's the book Talent is Never Enough. Because the world is full of talented yet unsuccessful people who have not been willing to pay the price of blood, sweat, and tears. And in our business, there's not a whole lot of blood, but there is a lot of sweat and tears. And if you let the sweat and tears slow you down, it can immobilize you, folks. Remember, there's nothing personal about someone saying no to you. All you're doing is you're offering to give that person a gift. It's up to them to walk through the door once you've opened it for them. Now, it's just too powerful to pass up on the idea that what we have in this industry, no matter what company we're working with, we're offering people the opportunity to change their lives with a gift of our friendship and whatever opportunity that we're presenting them with. And I think that that's something that more people need to understand, and they need to be proud of the fact that, you bet I'm involved in network marketing. I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't network marketing. Are you kidding me? Because when a person asks you, is this network marketing, is this MLM, or is this one of those pyramid things, all too often, the timid person takes that as a counterattack on what they're asking, what they're presenting, and they timidly say, well, yeah, as opposed to being very proud and very outspoken of what it is that they're doing and why they're doing it. Now, that's something I can't beat that drum enough. Lastly, find an organization for which to volunteer, because in volunteering, you can truly test your leadership, skills, and ability, because when people don't have to follow you based on any positional authority where you have no control over their time or their income, you can truly learn how to become a more effective leader and grow your level of influence with others. Because it's through philanthropy and through the process of volunteering that you truly gain influence with others, because the level of respect that they have for you becomes mind-boggling. And I'm going to open up the mic, Troy. First off, I'm going to any thoughts on our lesson for this morning from you? And then I'm going to open up the mics to a few of our guests this morning.
Yeah, I want to say one thing, because I want people to really understand this about influence. Jimmy and I, because of this industry, we always talk about those leaders that have positive influence. The guys, every time there's a positive, there's also a negative. It's a repulsion. It's a repelling act. And there's been some phenomenal leaders, just looking at it from a leadership standpoint, both in the 20th and the 21st century, that have done devastation because of their influence. And we can take this back to Jim Jones when he led people down to the Kool-Aid. We can look at this at Bin Laden and 9/11. Currently, we can look at this at Chavez. We could look at it at Bernie Madoff. So make sure the leaders that you're inspired by are truly leading you in the right direction, because the opportunism, if I just made that word up, I think, that's there, that leaders look at, can be devastating to their followers because they have a hidden agenda. So make sure, no matter who you're following, that the agenda is pure, that it's clean, that it's straightforward, and they truly are servant leaders wanting to help their organization. That's all I wanted to put in today, Jim.
You know, you reminded me of something, Troy, that I need to put out before we shift gears here, and that's the fact that every person that we encounter in our life should serve as some kind of a role model to us, either as a person that we want to emulate and strive to become more like, or as a person who we absolutely never want to be anything like.
Yeah.
Because those two characteristics, as you mentioned, we can see those things in everyone, and if we take nothing but the best from the people that we encounter and leave behind the rest, we can create a better world one person at a time, starting with the reflection we see in the mirror. So let's open this up, and let's get some feedback this morning. I'm going to go first to our guest who's joining us at 7 o'clock in the morning out in California this morning, Mr. David Hull. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Any hey, can you hear me?
On our
we can hear you, buddy.
Comment this morning.
Well, you know, I enjoy it. It took me a while to figure out how to get online because I'm not the smartest computer guy. But I sure have enjoyed listening to what I say. And you know what, listening to what you guys have said, and I got to be honest with you, everything that you're saying is dead on right, and is what leaders do. They find the positive people that they can surround themselves with, and what you guys are saying, even on the negative side, that, you know, there's a positive when you meet the negative people, because you can look at that person and say, that's definitely the person I don't want to be, because look at the people and how he or she is affecting the people around them. And so, you know, you talked about Jim Rohn and other great mentors out there that we can be influenced by, and I know you guys have been doing a great job. I've been following Troy Dooley online, and really appreciate all the things that you guys are doing out there.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, David. I appreciate you getting up and checking out what it is that we're doing here, because I think this show, since we've changed the format, is going to benefit people from literally any company in the industry that choose to plug in with us on a daily basis. And if they realize that we're not here as a recruiting fest, we're here to help people, that it's going to attract more and more people throughout the industry.
You know, one thing if I could add, just something that you had said that that I always found out is that when people ask, just as a kind of a training for network marketing in general, is when you people ask what you do, their response is always an enormous key as to how you can respond back. If, you know, I will always tell people, well, I do, you know, I do this type of sales, and they'll say, oh, is this network marketing? If somebody asks me if it's network marketing, I absolutely say, absolutely it is. The reason why is because if someone asks if it's network marketing, they're probably in the industry or they've been in the industry. If they say, is this one of those pyramid things, they're more than likely going to be negative, and so I know that. And so I'll approach my response a little bit more carefully. I'll say, well, it's not a pyramid because those are illegal, but you know they certainly use a viable marketing option. Have you ever heard of it? If they ask any question other than is it a pyramid, I'm emphatically going to say absolutely yes, because I always tell people you'll be shocked at how many people that you know are actually in network marketing and really like it. So depending on their answer, I always tell people look for that answer. You know, is it network marketing? Is this one of those pyramid things, or is this network marketing, or is this anything other than, even if they could say, was this one of those Amway pyramid type things? Even that's positive. It just means that they don't know a whole lot about it. But if they say is it network marketing, jump all over that.
You bet.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. All right, so let's go from David. Let's go to our youngest guest on the call this morning. That would be Mr. Hansis. And we've only got a little over 2 minutes, so Johnny, keep it brief so we got time to sign off.
You just got to have to surround yourself with the people that you know are going to help and you're going to grow and learn from. That's just a common law in anything you're going to do with your life. Good morning to everybody, by the way, but, that's why I choose to surround myself with all the gentlemen just like you, because I can grow myself and I can, you know, not in a selfish manner, but the fact is I know I'm going to be helping tons of people reach where they want to be with their life through their dreams, goals, and desires by helping them grow as well. So thank you guys for the opportunity. I can pass it back to you, Jim, or Troy.
All right, we got one more, and that would be our eldest statesman from the state of New York, Mr. Mark Lee. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, it's true, birds of a feather, you know, flock together. So when you're looking at a leader, make sure they're a true leader, that they're an unselfish leader, because that's the kind of influence you want to develop. Because leadership is action, not a position. A great servant leader was Braveheart. Now, I don't actually plan on falling on a broadsword, Jim, but I'll do almost anything for my team.
Well, that's very well said, and I think there's something to be said for movies like The Patriot, Gladiator, and Braveheart, because they all speak very loudly to human character and tenacity. You know, there's something to be said for the power of polite persistence when it comes to our industry. And it's that kind of tenacity that you're talking about that you see in movies like that that have a great storyline that really tell the story. Troy, we got less than a minute left, my friend. Take us out for the day.
It is that tenacity. Back in the turn of the century, I gave a leader a keychain that said, never give up. His name is Mark Weezer. We're going to have him on Aces Radio Live this Friday. And it's that tenacity that's allowed him to grow to become one of the most proficient personal sponsors in the history of network marketing. So Guys, be on the show with us tomorrow. We're going into Chapter 3, but you need to start preparing for Friday's call. If you want to be a top personal sponsor in network marketing, you got to be on Aces Radio Live. We love you all. We will see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. Have a fantastic day.
God bless everybody. Have a terrific day.